numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada here at the D, the Barrage, downtown Las Vegas. It's happening. You good?
What's up, buddy?
Man, no hot water this morning at the house.
That is the worst.
Usually I man up and just sort of stick and move.
Yeah.
Get in the shower. Yeah. Still not this morning. Had no courage this morning.
Well, you're looking good. You look fine. You don't look like a disgusting, dirty human being.
Well, thank you, Kelly. Thanks so much.
I usually do that too.
It's a low bar, but I'm happy to have cleared it.
I usually just get through the cold shower too, but man, is it rough. It's rough. And especially when it's, 45 degrees out, 50 degrees out?
Yeah. Somebody explained in building that when there's vacancies around my apartment, in any apartment, so if someone's not living there or if someone has gone on vacation, which, of course, a lot of people have this time of year, that it creates bubbles in the pipes for the water. By the way, as he was explaining this to me, like within 5 seconds, I'm having narcolepsy, so I'm sure I shouldn't tell this story. But
Don't drive and listen to this story.
I'm visibly falling asleep as he's telling me this story. So then you get cold or scalding hot water also at times. So anyway, we're playing hurt this morning.
Makes sense.
Body chills. On the show today, Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime talking college football bowls with us. Will Hill, all his college and pro football bets. Pritch, please. Mike Pritchett will join us. Talk NFL. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Later this week, by the way. Can I promo stuff that's on later this week? Is that proper radio form? Parles and I did this last year. My favorite top five Christmas songs of the year. I just need to point this out that Wes Reynolds did this. Apparently last night he did his top 10.
Yeah.
Obviously people do this all the time. Wes not only gave the top 10 list, he performed all of them.
Sure, he was not pressured into doing that whatsoever by his co-host.
It was fantastic. Wes just leaned into it. He didn't care if he was pitchy. He just rolled. It was fantastic. Anyway, we're not going to.
Good on him. Good on Wes.
Yeah. You think he was peer pressured by humans? Is what you're saying?
I think that I would. 100%. I would be willing to bet any amount of money in the universe that there was some peer pressure from humans on that. I would have loved to have heard Wes Reynolds sing those all too.
Oh my God, it's great. So Kelly and I are going to do our top five later this week. You are going to do your top five. Yes,
yeah, I'm going to do a top five.
Okay,
not a top five.
All right.
Just real quick, because to me there's some good Christmas songs.
Yeah.
The list is way shorter, though, than people make it out to be.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big Christmas music guy. Overall, most of it, meh, not for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Christmas, man. Love Christmas. Who doesn't love Christmas? What's wrong with
you? I love Christmas.
You just don't like the songs?
Yeah, I don't like the songs.
Oh, okay.
I think Christmas cookies are a little overblown, too.
Wow.
Just give me a good cookie. Why does it got to be a time of year?
It's a little grinchy, is all I'm saying. That's what I'm getting from this.
I'll be working Christmas Eve and Christmas, by the way. Maybe no surprise there.
And later this week, the dude in Circa Survivor who doesn't want to chop, the poker player, Sean Perry, on this show, which, let me just say this, could go any kind of direction.
Yeah. At this desk.
He's going to be I can't say in studio because...
At the table.
Not really a studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'll be at the table with us. Sean Perry, here's his latest tweet, or I don't know if it's his latest, but one of his tweets. When I win the $9.3 million from the Circus Survivor, I'm requesting an all-cash payout, all in caps, get the wheelbarrows ready, # I'm not chopping. He's on the show on Friday.
He's excited to come on. I'll tell you that much, man. He's ready to roll. Oh, yeah. He's ready to roll.
Oh, man. Do we have an eject button on that at any point? I look forward to talking to Sean. I'm sure he's lovely. We look forward to that. First of all, I want to talk just real quick. Can we do 60 seconds on basketball before we get to this football thing? Warriors beat the Celtics. Stephen Clay in old school Warriors form. A moment in time, just a blip on the radar, it just like, oh, just remember this is how we used to be, or could they sustain this in any way, shape, or form, in your humble opinion?
It's all about Clay. It's all about Clay right now. It's and other pieces. Steph has been amazing. He's probably been even more amazing than people realize this season because everybody else around him has been so bad. Andrew Wiggins, Clay Thompson, they've been... They've been awful. Clay, though, the past four games has really started to pick it up. So if he can get back into that form, and we saw a little bit of this out of him last year during the regular season, if he can get back anywhere to close to normal Clay, and Draymond's eventually going to come back, if he can, you know, just not act like a complete knucklehead for a few months, then I think there's no worries. It's just, I think there's a lot of people that have been critical of the Warriors with the, okay, you all knew these guys were going to get old at some point. Where's the development of some of these other guys? And they're still struggling a bit from that.
The Wiseman pick ended up not being a good one. And, yeah, they're struggling replacing for sure. Warriors win it in overtime over the Celtics. In case you missed it, 132-126. Trailed by as many as 17. Trailed by 11 in the fourth quarter. And the rainbow three to clinch it in overtime from Steph was just gorgeous.
It was incredible. I heard Steve Kerr talking about it after the game. He even brought up a better point. I think you see the highlight once, you see the highlight twice, and you just think of Steph's shot. The Chris Paul pass
was great. Cross court.
It's just something the Warriors have never really had before, right? Like, that might be Steph making that pass to Clay in the corner or something like that. But Chris Paul with a cross court pass to Steph to set up that shot, it was really impressive.
Fun to see. Basketball's better when the Warriors are good, that's for sure. And you and JVT went head-to-head. How did that work out yesterday?
Oh, man, that was you didn't see the end of that one. Great ending of that game, too. Yeah. Ja Morant with the walk-off play at the rim. I was going to say dunk, but I guess it really wasn't a dunk at the end. So they win that. It was all tied up 113. Ja cleared everybody out, took it one-on-one with Herb Jones. That was not a good idea by the Pelicans. Maybe roll over some help defense there. He looked great last night in his return. I was dead wrong. It was Pelicans were up 24 points at one point in the second quarter. They were up, I think, 20 at half. Blew it in the second half. John Morant played absolutely incredible. Looked like he had not missed a minute. Ended up with 34 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and played 35 minutes. That was kind of the surprise. Everybody kind of thought he was going to be more around 30, high 20s in the minutes yesterday. But came in, looked really good. And this team is going to be, you know,
so
breaking news here, a whole lot better with Ja Morant in the lineup.
JVT got the best of you, in other words.
Yes, he did. Okay. Him and Zach Cohen.
Okay, it happens. All right, football yesterday. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, who, as you know, missed Sunday's game against the Titans. Texans win behind Case Keenum. Likely to miss a second straight game this coming Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. That, according to sources. Quote, he should miss another game, one source said Tuesday. Listen, this is, when you're in concussion protocol, this is a very serious thing. Reports are, more specifically, that he is dealing still with sensitivity to light and other common concussion symptoms. Now, let me just again preface this with a disclaimer. I love C.J. Stroud. I think he's awesome. You know, I thought he should have been the first pick in the draft. So I don't want anybody to land here and think we're being callous about a concussion. But we do come from the prism of sports betting, the lens through which we look at everything. And so call us horrible human beings if we want. But one of the things that I have brought up earlier this week, and now this becomes that much more real, or at least I'm suggesting that it could be real, is that you had C.J. Stroud play poorly against the Jets 2 weeks ago. He did not play last week. If it is in fact true that he is not playing this week, that leaves only two remaining regular season football games. If by some chance he is unable to go in either of those or in both of those or some combination of not playing or playing poorly, that will be five NFL games that he has essentially done nothing in, either literally or figuratively. Is it realistic? He's still minus 10,000 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. This has not moved in the market at all. Is it realistic if that happens and at the same time, Puka Nacua, who is currently 20-1, breaks both receptions and receiving yards records for rookies? Right now, the record, by the way, for receptions, Jaylen Waddle, 104 in the year 2021. Nacua has 87. So what does that mean? He's got to get six a game to break that. And then for yardage, the record is 1,473 by Bill Grohman in 1960. Who could forget that season?
Oh, of course.
And Puka needs 104 yards per game the rest of the way to break that. So six catches, 104 yards in each of the last three games. The six is more realistic than the 104. But if Nacua has this great game this coming week, let's say, Stroud doesn't play, you know that number's crashing at least half at that point, and then it starts to become something. So, I'm not rooting for this to – I know I have a bet. It involves Stroud and concussion. I want Stroud to play. I don't want him to be affected by this long term. By the way, we're going to get into Coach of the Year implications on this later on the show because it could affect that as well because it obviously affects the Texans just in general. But it's just worth bringing up from a betting perspective. Now, on the other hand, all C.J. Stroud has to do, in my opinion, is come back and play one credible football game, and I think it's back to being minus a bajillion. But it is worth bringing up that you can't play more than you can't not play or play poorly more than a quarter of the season to finish and think that this is going to happen if another guy's breaking records,
right? Especially with someone like Puka Nacua right there. And I think this was a good point brought up by you. You know, was that Monday the first or even last
Monday.
Week? I can't even remember.
I think last week I did too. Yeah.
But when you brought that up, I've just been thinking about it more and more. I mean, yes, it's a concussion, so you don't expect him to be out that long, but you also just don't know with head injury. How many times have we talked about head injuries?
Yes.
And you just don't know. So, look, is this a bet I would make right now if you're not already involved on Puka Nacua? No, but I would be very, very – I would be watching this news this week because if he gets ruled out, taking a flyer on Puka at 20-1, I didn't even really shop around. Who knows? There might be way longer numbers out there. I think it's worth scooping up a piece. If you know for sure Stroud's missing this week, because you're right. If Puka has a decent game this week and Stroud is out this week,
the mainstream media will start to pick up on it with only two games left.
Right.
They'll be like, wait a minute, Puka Nacua only needs this and that to break these two records. How quietly, right, that he's doing that. We'll come back, a little college football. VSiN Primetime's Tim Murray. He's got bowl game and national invitational semifinal thoughts. That's next. Numbers Game VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking a bit smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today. Get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Pardon me, got that wrong at the end. VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, you want to talk some golf and tennis later?
Yeah.
Let's talk some golf and tennis.
Let's do it.
I haven't done that in a while. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Tom Mast 313. When does the Megapod drop this week? I always look forward to it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thursday, it will drop. The guest this week, Frank Schwab from Yahoo.
Oh, nice.
Schwabe.
Yeah.
Vegas regular. With his own version of Wes Reynolds, he says, with his own version of pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo. Awesome. Get it, pitchy? Get it. J&J Watering Hole. Oh, cannot wait to hear dude on Friday because just reading his tweets, it's really easy to not want him to win. Hopefully he's a bit like Fezzik, just comes across on Twitter, quote-unquote, different, but in reality hoping he's a good dude. Hashtag Survivor Life. Jason at Sparty, Sparty KY says, remember why the girlfriend, Phoebe Cates, didn't like Christmas in the Gremlins movie? Dark. Hopefully that's not why Kelly doesn't like Christmas.
Yeah, no, I had to go Google that one because I don't remember. I didn't remember. I love Gremlins. Haven't seen it in like 20 years, though, at least. I love Christmas, okay? I just don't like all Christmas music.
You know what I loved? Phoebe Cates. That's what I loved. New York Mets 16. Draymond Knucklehead. Safe to assume that Kelly was censoring his television self here.
Almost went with numbskull.
I think he was hoping for something stronger. Respect the process. When the Grinch meets the Cookie Monster, LOL, respect. I'm the Cookie Monster? Why am I the Cookie Monster?
Nah, I trash cookies, too. I trash Christmas cookies.
Oh, that's you did I, also?
Yeah.
Oh. Let's see. What was this? This is from one more here. Shay H. If only Stafford would have realized Puka was on the roster that first month back. Dude, don't get me started. Once Cooper Kupp came back and he just locked into his
Seriously,
buddy.
Though, don't get Gil started.
Oh,
on this.
Don't get me started. That's Will Hill's favorite Gil rant. Is the Puka.
Oh, you were so angry about
so
it.
So angry. Hey, McVay and Stafford, why don't you like single-handedly not let him win an award? That's great.
I enjoyed it. We know you reflect like 7 weeks ago. Sorry, Tim. I know you're holding for us. Yeah. Like the 7 weeks ago when Gil was going crazy about Sean McVay and the coaching, was going on with the Rams. And I'm sitting over here thinking, the preseason win total for this team was like 6.5, 7 wins. Gil's expectations went skyrocketed as soon as Puka Nacua became a thing.
Yeah. By the way, I apologize to Sean McVay too, because like apparently he I shouldn't apologize because he's still a terrible play caller when it's in the red zone, horrible. But obviously he leaned on Kyren Williams and they're getting it done too, and it's worked out.
That's amazing.
Tim Murray joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. He is not only the host of VEASAN Primetime, but he had the horrible lack of luck by sitting next to me at the Vegas Golden Knights game the other night against the Buffalo Sabres. He joins us now. How you doing, Tim?
Yeah, on your left was Brent Musburger. On your right was me. Yeah. Talk about differences of stature.
Well, you know, look, you and I had a very deep dive discussion on all the different schools along Seven Locks Road in Bethesda and Potomac. So I don't think you can get that anywhere else.
Yeah, we had some deep convos there for DMV deep cuts.
It was a DMV deep cut session. All right, before we get to some of your bowl game thoughts here in the short term, I don't know if you and I talked about this last time you were on, but as far as the national semis go, as I like to call them, the national invitational semis, Alabama, Michigan, and Texas and Washington, do you have bets that you have made on either of those two games?
I played a little on the under on Alabama, Michigan, at 45.5, 45 now, probably still would look that way. That's the only thing at this moment I have in pocket. You know, I'm curious to see how the market moves on Alabama, Michigan. We did see a little bit of movement back towards the Wolverines yesterday. I still contend, and I think Chris Felica said this. I don't know if it was on your show or on his pod, but he was of the belief that Alabama is going to close the favorite. I don't disagree with that, but we've seen a little bit of resistance here. You know, I do have an Alabama future that I took out middle of October after they beat, I think it was when they beat LSU. I took a 14-1 on Alabama. So that's where I'm kind of sitting right now, Gil. As for the other game, I'm kind of hoping the market kind of keeps working with Washington here, and I might take some Texas if we keep going down. Circa's down to 3.5, but nothing yet on that game. And that's the beauty of it, is I feel like as we get closer with these two games, you know, I don't think we have to race out there to be doing anything necessarily with either one of these games.
College football and all its infinite wisdom has no game today, which kind of sucks.
National signing day.
What's that? National? Because it's National Signing Day. That's right. 24/7. My buddy Stanko all over that at 24/7 Sports. Okay, so we resume with college bowls tomorrow because Lord knows you can't have a bowl game during signing day, Tim. Can't do that.
Wait, this is the new signing day, right, Tim? Do we still have to use fax machines?
I don't know what they're doing anymore, Kelly.
Okay.
I loved signing day for so long because when the fax machine became obsolete, it was the only thing keeping the fax machine still alive. I don't think we're doing it anymore. In the early days of live streaming, there was a couple schools that live streamed their fax machine. And you could sit there and you could watch the letters of intent come through the fax machine. Irony now of National Signing Day is you could literally just sign on the dotted line today and be like, I'm going to the portal.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's that. All right, well, we resume.
The calendar makes, you want to rant, and I'm not going to do it here. The calendar makes no sense.
No.
I mean,
yes.
You know, I kind of, not that I feel bad for Nick Saban or Jim Harbaugh, but like they're trying to get ready for a national championship and you've got to get portal guys, and Malik Murphy from Texas is in the portal and he's your backup quarterback. It's a disaster.
Oh, I heard Chip Kelly ranting about this too. Like nothing makes sense anymore to any of these guys.
I thought his rant was made sense.
Yeah.
And it was, the irony of it was, you know, as a Notre Dame fan, I just get tweets, well, just join a conference. And it's like, Chip Kelly just said exactly what Notre Dame does.
I think we're all becoming like just cantankerous old men. Like we all have our rants on the side. That just it's just so amusing to hear.
Oh, it's so great.
All right, we have 3 minutes here, Tim. We resume with bowl action tomorrow. We have one on Friday, and then we got seven on Saturday. What's your what's your favorite of that bunch?
Of that bunch, I kind of like Air Force. I just don't know what James Madison is going to show up with. That's the interesting part here. So it's the Armed Forces Bowl. Go look up the numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but the cover percentage of service academies and bowl games is outrageous. And then James Madison has been this great story, right? Kirk Cignetti goes up on College Game Day, or maybe it was the McAfee show, and he's he's cutting promos for, bleep the NCAA. And then the season comes to an end. He's like, all right, Harrison Berg, it's been fun. I'm out of here. I'm going to Indiana. So he left. His whole staff basically is following him to Indiana. And essentially, guys, their entire team is in the portal. But all of these players for JMU have said, no, we're going to play in this game.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to play in it. You've prepared. You're in the portal. And, oh, by the way, you've got to properly prepare for one of the most challenging offenses, to prepare for in all of sport, which is the triple option. So good luck with that. In addition to the fact that Air Force and Service Academies almost always cover bowl games, I'm going to take the Falcons here. It's obviously under the key of three. We've seen movement come in here. So Air Force is one that I added to the portfolio last night trying to find a three. I was unable to find it. I am on San Jose State, but I feel like we've missed the number here. This was one of my first bowl bets on the podcast, guys, way back when. Now it's 10.5. Pizza money maybe on San Jose State if you can get 10. I just think San Jose State's super motivated to be out there. Chevin Cordero, their quarterback, is Hawaiian. He started his career out there. They're still angry about how the Mountain West, kind of screwed them over for the tiebreak rules there. So that would be a side one, small pizza bet. But I think Air Force takes care of business on Saturday.
And for those of us who have been, handicapping college bowl games since the dawn of time, that's one of the, bowl tenant 101 preflop things, which is when these teams have to prepare for the triple option, right? They're not used to it. So even with a few weeks to prepare for it, it just typically doesn't work out. Last thing in 20 seconds here. If you did a confidence pool against the spread of all 40 plus bowl games, what's your number one in all bowl season? Do you have one?
We got running up against time. All right, I'll give you one real quickly. I just added yesterday. Oklahoma State, I like the Gundies going up against Texas A&M. I don't know if that would have been number one from the jump, but I do like the Pokes against Texas A&M in the Texas Bowl on December 27th.
All right, Tim Murray, Vegas Primetime, weekdays right here at the station, at the network. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
See you, boys.
Tim Murray, everybody, coming back with Will Hill. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game from Bar Canada here in Las Vegas. All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Vegas. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Vegas. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. K2-19. What about Purdy for comeback player? K2-19, if I may call you by your given name. I think at this point we should just give him comeback and offensive player of the year and MVP and
I've seriously gotten to the point where if it ended today, I think it should be a clean sweep.
It's just clean sweep.
MVP offensive player of the year, coach of the year, 49ers.
Let me ask it a different way. Who's the guy that gets shut out of everything? I think it's Tyreek now.
Yeah.
I think Tyreek is about to get shut out of everything.
I don't know, because I think it still matters who they end up going with for MVP.
Web12-66, the angriest guy in Kentucky, formerly the angriest guy in New Jersey. He said the whole Aaron Rodgers story was BS from day one. He said, if you cannot figure that out and then bet on it, makes me feel a little better about some of the bets that I've made. How about that? And then J.D. Emmons, our buddy J.D. from Alabama, he said, he's talking about how you like to annoy your brother with your gifts for his kids.
Oh, my gosh, what a tweet this is.
He said, I love to get my friend's young son inappropriate gifts. So when I saw brass knuckles at a store in Prague, I nabbed them. Joke was on me when I forgot they were in my bag as I attempted to board a flight in Berlin. The police were not amused. That's great.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. And Vegas Valkyrie,
Because I'm sure that story, you know, to the cops and customs, really, I'm sure that translates over really well.
Oh, Vegas Valkyrie, you just wrote a tweet that Deborah Salt, fashion stylist, would love. Here's the problem. This shirt, something's going on with this shirt. So I got to button this right here.
Oh, good, Richard.
Because he was, like, putting me up against Fabio. He goes, who wore it better? It's like, I'm going to do that. Because it also cuts off here. It's a horrible look. Thank you, Vegas Valkyrie. Jason Weingarten joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He is a fashionista. He's also under a cloud of smoke. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He joins us now. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. Kelly and I were just having this conversation off air. Worst drivers in any city you've ever been in. What is the answer per Jason Weingarten?
Worst drivers?
Collective driving. I'll give you the answer. Las Vegas, there's nothing closer. And I don't know.
I've been to Central America. I've been to Israel. Like, they drive pretty violently in different parts of the world. So
it's true. It's true. Israel,
there
by
are
the
places
way.
There are places like for example the Dominican Republic. Like I won't go there. Not that it's like I'm like, you know, buying a ticket on my way there, but like I'll go to Costa Rica, I'll go to Central America, I like Guatemala. I'm not particularly interested in going to the Dominican Republic because of the unsafeness of the driving there.
Of the driving.
Baseball players go back and they die. Like, it happens every year.
It's very true. I was thinking about the United States, but you're right. Like, in Tel Aviv, this is true. Yeah. I love Tel Aviv. Before the light is even green, swear to God, it's just as red as could be. Honking beyond belief behind you. Like, it's red. You want me to do?
Yeah, I was keeping it in the U.S. too.
Amazing.
There's some mid-90s Moscow, Russia stories. Yeah, sure. Of drivers, I got. Yeah.
All right, I take it back. Maybe we should all be thankful.
Like, if you drive in L.A. every day, like you're talking about, like people driving up the side of the freeway and stuff, like that's normal. Like,
normal, yeah.
I mean,
here,
I don't know.
Here it is a daily occurrence of you literally are like, I can't believe I just saw that.
I've been guilty of that shortcut a time or two myself.
I asked the right person. Jason, doing that thing. All right, what did you bet this weekend, National Football League, Week 16?
Well, first, I wanted to say I can't believe I lost that Washington bet, but I only found out I lost it by listening to you guys talking about it because I turned off. I hadn't turned off. I fell asleep because I had some Cowboys teasers, and those got blown out quickly. It was the last leg to win a bunch of money, so I was like, well, my day's over. I'm going to take a nap. And I woke up, and I found out the next day from you guys how my Washington bet lost. So, man, that was
good times, right,
that was
Jason?
Fun.
Yeah. Glad we could walk you through it on the Ron Rivera experience.
In painful detail. It was like watching it. You know, at least I didn't have to watch it twice.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good for that. Sorry about that.
Cowboys getting a point and a half this weekend versus the Dolphins. It's kind of like pretender versus pretender here for me. Which one of these teams do you like least? For me, I like the Dolphins a little bit less than the Cowboys. I think getting a point and a half here after this kind of no-show performance last week, kind of a nice buy-low spot for the Cowboys here. And then we got the Rams game tomorrow night, which I will be attending. Just wanted to point that out, I guess.
Sure.
But I bet over 46 because I'll be there. I got to root for something. I think Derek Carr, I don't know, man. Like, ooh. Was that one of the worst quarterback performances you've ever seen from anybody, you know, last week? Or like, I don't even, why is he even playing?
Oh, I've seen far worse from Derek Carr than last week. I mean, I've said so many times through the years, he will amass stats. But whenever you need a smart decision late in the game, he will always be reliably making the bad one, the bad choice.
But, I mean, he's clearly playing injured. You know what I mean? Like he just it's an injury thing.
Well, it might be now, but I'm just saying, like, how many times have you had a bet on the Saints through your life, and you remember like on a key 3rd and 4 or 4th and 4, Derek Carr just throwing the ball into the ground or something. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And that's not about an injury. But, yeah, now he's probably affected by that. They're four-point dogs, the Saints are, tomorrow night at the Rams. Jason will be in attendance, and he's playing the over, 46.
Yeah, I think the short week, you know, for both teams kind of hopefully gets a little sloppy. And hopefully we don't have a blocked extra point or anything at the end this week to kind of ruin things again.
You're a keen Rams observer. Do you believe that if they got into the postseason, they could win a game?
Sure. I'd love to see him win a game. Unfortunately, it's likely that that win's going to come on the road, so I won't get to see it in person. I'd love to attend a playoff game. Just in general, I love going to NFL games. It's pretty fun. Once you start going, you're like, yeah, I'll go whenever. But yeah, I'd love to see him win a game. I do think they could win a game. They still have those problems with the offensive line. Aaron Donald's not 100% right now, so you know, things really have to break their way. They're not a team that I would necessarily fire a long shot future on to win the conference. And, you know, frankly, I don't think they could match up with the 49ers, even if they got that far. But,
well, let's not get crazy. Yeah, for sure.
A man can dream.
Man can dream. What else did you bet this weekend in the NFL? Anything else in the NFL?
So far, not much. I bet a little bit on the Packers versus the Panthers. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, we've seen what the Panthers are. They've shown us what they got, and I just think the Packers could score more points than them. Pretty simple John Madden style analysis there. But then the other one, I'm just gonna keep beating this drum, especially after the Aaron Rodgers news. I think for Wilson, you might have a little pressure off your back now that you know Rodgers isn't coming back, but we know what he's capable of. And I'm just like you're going to lay 3 points with the Jets? No, thank you. I'll take 3 points with the Commanders, and hopefully it won't, you know, ruin Christmas Eve.
It's such an interesting game. And by interesting, I mean, God help you if you have to live through this, but it you know, the Jets offense versus the Commanders' defense might be one of the more fascinating unit-to-unit matchups of the week. It's like, you know, the offense that can't and the defense that will allow. And so it's going to be fascinating on that side of the ball. I don't know that the Commanders – I mean, the Commanders have weapons on offense. Can they do some damage against the Jets? That remains to be seen. But Lord knows, I wish it was Jacoby Brissett in there.
It's a weird spot, especially with both teams essentially, you know, the Jets are already eliminated. I think, you know, that's why Rodgers officially isn't coming back, right? Because there's no playoff path, nothing to sort of gain from coming back.
That's what he's saying, that he's not playing because of that, right? But I just went on a whole rant about it, how he was never coming back, Aaron Rodgers, and this was just a convenient excuse for him now that they're out. But that's just
But you don't think had they won a couple games, he would have tried to at least accelerate the timeline? Like, had they, say, like two more wins, he buys himself another week, you know,
well,
maybe.
I said on this show a few weeks ago, I go, by coming back, and I, again, as someone who's popped two Achilles, does it mean I can take a snap, take 3 steps back, and throw the football? Yes, you can do that. Anybody who had an Achilles surgery could do that. By the way, now he's on the standard medical timeline of coming back from an Achilles. I just want to point that out as well. But anybody could have done that. But I'm talking about actually playing football, having to cut and avoid and do things athletic. He wasn't doing that. He was never doing that. And it was so irresponsible. Anyway, we don't have to adjudicate that again. We got to run. Sorry about that, Jason.
It's okay. I like the Rodgers talk.
Yeah. Appreciate it as always. Good luck with all of these, and have fun at the Rams game tomorrow night.
Thank you. Hopefully it's a good weekend. Don't blow all your money on Christmas Eve and ruin Christmas. You know, that's my advice this week.
Pro tip of the hour.
Serious.
Thank you, Jason.
Pro tip. Pros.
Coming back, more NFL on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to bet smarter? Then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today, get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, but with all our betting guides and best bets for all college football bowl games, Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate all the feedback, good, bad, and different. As long as you're funny, man, we love it. You can even murder us if you're funny. Johnny Ringo, the Brock Purdy isn't that good because his team is doing all the work. Narrative is comical. So many haters. Yeah, so many. I agree. Lionel G. Williams, Every Year, Every Christmas by Luther Vandross might be the best Christmas song I've ever heard. By the way, Kelly and me, our favorite Christmas songs tomorrow on the show. Do you know how many of my tribe has, you know, all the great Christmas classics were written by tribesmen? Do you know that?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. I think probably because you brought it up before.
Yeah, I'll bring it up again tomorrow. Phil Weiss, how about zero slams for Iga? Oh, we put that up there. It was plus 130, I believe. You ask a question, you get an answer, Phil. Why don't you bet it if you're so smart with zero slams?
Longer than that, even.
Go zero slams, buddy. See how it works out for you. Bill Hooker. Iga should be highly regarded. At least Iga is equal physically to her competition. Serena was much bigger and stronger than hers, equivalent to Ali fighting Leonard Hagler and Hearns.
3-1 for zero grand slams.
Oh, 3-1.
Plus 130.
Yeah, bet it, Phil. Bet it, Phil.
One slam plus 130.
One slam plus 130. I'm sorry. Just call me Skip. Do you still have Right Angle Sports on weekly? We do. I wasn't here last week, so we didn't last week. Then this week, he couldn't do it. So hopefully we'll return next week.
Holiday schedule conflicts, yeah.
You know how it goes. Jesse Welch, eager to win the Australian and 49ers to win the Super Bowl. 10-1 at DraftKings. I'm in on that at some point today. Plus 1025. Chris Heath, funny you're having the conversation about traffic, as I just used some keen maneuvering to make it to work on time during a very wet Bay Area commute. Oh, be careful when the Bay Area gets wet. Roger Jones. Gil, those folks who bet on Al Rogers to win Comeback Player of the Year shouldn't need to worry. Aren't these books obligated to refund that bet? I mean, he blew his Achilles. There's a lot of jokes in that one from Roger. One VR back in the Megapod days once referred to Aaron Rodgers for a whole rant as Allen Rodgers. And then the other one was, yes, this whole mishigas with refunding bets. Nevada Azer. So Tel Aviv is basically New York City regarding traffic lights and drivers being impatient. LOL. JD saying to Will Hill, it's time to send Gil a Gold Boys hoodie. Yeah, man. Send me that. I'd appreciate that very much. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. By the way, you excited? Not only Christmas songs tomorrow, but again, if you missed it, the gentleman, I'm going to say gentleman because I'm sure he is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. Sean Perry is his name. He is one of the remaining 10 entrants in Circa Survivor, one of the remaining 10 contestants with entries in Circa Survivor, who has both proclaimed himself the greatest bettor of all on Twitter and his latest one. When I win the 9.3 million, not if, when I win the 9.3 million from the Circa Survivor, I'm requesting an all cash payout in caps. Get the wheelbarrow ready. Hashtag I'm not shopping. We have Sean on the show on Friday. Yeah. He will be sitting right in between me and Kelly, and we look forward to the conversation.
I can't wait. I can't wait. It is a different perspective, right? Like we've often talked in years past, right, when we've gotten down to this point of the similarities between this contest and what a poker tournament turns into when you start talking about the job.
He is a poker player.
He is a very well-established poker player who has won a lot of money doing that. His father was a World Series of Poker winner. So obviously the experience from that end is there. And I think when you've got those kind of winnings and you're in a contest like this, should you be more confident than the other people in it? I wouldn't be surprised if you are.
You certainly come from a different perspective.
Exactly. So I think we've heard a lot of stories over the years of kind
need,
of.
I don't need know if you need to be all that cocky about it, but you certainly come from a different perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, my point is that we've talked to a lot of people where it's great stories where they've never even been here before, right? Like he might not have been here for Circus Survivor, but he's been in a position to cash pretty big before, so I think it will be interesting hearing him talk about it.
Listen, it's so – I've said this now a couple times, but it's so interesting. These – you know, just taking three at random. We talked to Joe Pete about it yesterday. There's Sean Perry, the poker player, who is super chesty about it.
Yeah.
There's the gentleman we talked to last week, Jonesy, right? Mm-hmm. Greg Jones, who made the mistake on Thanksgiving and is monetizing it behind the scenes beautifully. Then there's – The homework assignment that you picked up for
Bowtie
Joe.
Cabaret.
Bowtie Cabaret.
Like, we haven't even heard. We haven't heard except for, what was the one story, right? From
Bowtie Cabaret, who hasn't hedged $1.
Yeah.
Who is just riding his one entry from the beginning of the season and has apparently to this point no interest or no... I don't know what the correct phrase is.
Not sure he has any idea. We've talked about him this much.
Not sure he knows how to...
Right.
That it's just too much for him to even consider. I don't know, but you have all types. And so we just trying to highlight all the different types.
Yeah, we were talking about that with Joe. I believe it was off air we were talking about this, but it's the, you know, I think there is the difference between the person that looks at it at what is the intrinsic value of your entry right now, or is a guy just looking at it as, hey, this is $1,000.
Correct.
And it's turned into a $1,000 long shot that I could make. I'm in position. I'm still alive to make a ton of money off it, but it's only $1,000 I've invested. So I wonder how.
He was, though, here's where that sort of gets a little muddled. He was pro-chop. I know that for a fact
right,
as well.
Exactly.
He was pro chop. He wanted to do the $500,000
a
piece thing.
That's a little odd.
Yeah, when that fell through, he just plowed through.
And I'm with you. For the people that, hey, if you've got the gamble in you like Sean, good for you. You handle this however you want to. Like Greg Jones, though, what an amazing story that is. And then like to just, you are capitalizing on every opportunity that you have left the rest of the season to make a little money, put a little money in your pocket. I love that, too. I love that.
And again, pouring out a 40 for Adam Burke, who was part of the Mark Goldberg Spooky Express. I was rooting for Adam. Wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, we are.
But I heard he's been all stand-up about it, and, you know.
Well, that's the biggest reason why you root for Adam Burke. Of course he is. Like, I would be shocked to hear if Adam Burke was not handling this as well as any human being possibly could.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Greatest guy ever. So we'll talk to Sean Perry on Friday. We always try to remember to go back to guessing lines at some point midweek to remind folks of what we sort of landed on or what I landed on. And again, were it not for those 2-0-5s, Kelly, what could have been in Circa Millions for me this year on the Megapod, 29-15-1. It's been a great year, but I couldn't avoid the hiccups and big time, and hiccups is not doing it justice, but the awful weeks of 2-0-5s. So coming off a 3-1-1, the instincts on guessing lines has been great all season long besides those 2 weeks. And this week, it took a while, right? We went about 6 segments yesterday without really liking anything. And then it was a few in a row. We've only heard Cowboys love on the show this week from guests. I kind of like the Dolphins. I haven't bet any of these. Full disclosure, I have not bet. None of these are in my account yet. But I kind of like the I obviously didn't feel that strongly about them to put them in like I did a few weeks ago when I put 4 in while we were doing guessing lines. But I like the Dolphins laying less than 3 against the Cowboys. They're only laying 1.5 now, consensus, in spots against the Cowboys. I also thought
I've got no feel for that game. Like,
what a great matchup.
I can't wait to watch it. It's one of those. I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to be sitting on the sidelines, kind of like Timberwolves Sixers tonight. It's like one of the NBA games I've been most excited for the season. No bet whatsoever. Can't wait to watch it. This Dolphins-Cowboys, I think I lean Miami a little bit, but...
The other two, here's where the problem comes. Because the other two I liked require me to take two really bad teams and then just swallow hard. And that is, I think the Broncos are too big of a favorite against the Patriots. I think 6.5 now. This is the one thing we said, right?
You have fun with it this week.
you said it. There's no rush to bet these bad teams because the line's only going to get higher.
Right.
Broncos are 6.5 now in some spots hosting the Patriots. I think that's too many points. I mean, I think the Broncos will win, but I think that's too many points. And the other one was, same sort of thing, is I love the Chiefs. I have a bet on them to win the number one seed, to get the number one seed. But I think 10 is too many at home against a Raiders team that traditionally, for whatever that's worth, gives this team trouble. And do I like living through those two bets? Absolutely not. But if you're asking me what I think, where I think the line is off, I think those are the two.
Man, I've had a couple pretty dang good weeks, like over the past 4 or 5 weeks. But man, it does feel like it's been 5 weeks of like I haven't loved a card. It's been a while.
There's been a few of those weeks
since I haven't loved a card. I made two. All I've got is two. And the one I really like, 49ers team total over. I played that over 26.5 on Monday. That's the one I really like. I laid a cheap three with the Lions. Everybody can come at me. I understand. I think Will's right with the line movement. But you're talking about Mullins in there for the Vikings. I think laying a cheap three, I'm okay.
It's also a weird year where when I don't feel good about it, it goes bad. When I do feel good about it, it goes good. It doesn't usually work out that way, but this year it has. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.